Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and I'm thinking these days about looking forward with optimism and hope to what might come. Maybe you're thinking about that too. There are times that feel like times for setting goals, and times that feel like times for righting wrongs, and times that feel like times for bridging divides or of making friends of enemies, and sometimes feel like good times to do all of that. And as we move forward together, I've been looking forward with hope and optimism to what might come. And what will that be? Well, you never know. But as I think about how I might face it, I look at the character at the center of our first story. He's a bear who, on the evening of a full moon, decides to throw a party for his friends. Recorded live in the Appleseed studio, here's Bill Harley with a story called Bear's Party.
Once a month, Bear couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep because there was a full moon shone down through his picture window right on his bed. But on the night of the full moon, Bear didn't want to sleep. What he wanted to do was have a party, invite his friends, dance all night long. So he said,
I'm going to have a party. I'm going to invite my friends, and we're going to dance all night. Huh.
He told his brother. His brother said, stupid, 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 stupid. It'll never work. A lot of animals won't even come. Forget it. But Bear, he shrugged his shaggy shoulders, and he said,
you never know what might happen.
He went ahead and planned his party anyway. He swept the clearing in front of his house. He planned what kind of snacks he was going to serve. And he made these invitations to take to his friends. And as he took the invitations to his friends, he made up a song he decided he was going to sing the night of his party. And get everybody to sing. It's going to go like this.
Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? The moon will shine to the light of day. Come on out and play. Come on out and play.
But everywhere he went, animals told him it wasn't gonna work. Coyote said, no way! A lot of animals won't come, so it won't work. My cousin's a dog, sleep all night, forget it.
Bear shrugged his shaggy shoulders and said, you never know what might happen.
He told his best friend, the moose. She said, noble idea, Bear, but I don't believe it will work, so I shall not be in attendance. He told the birds. They said they had to get up early the next morning. He told the bugs. They told him to bug off. Everybody, everywhere he went, he said, it's not going to work.
Bear said, you never know.
He told the porcupine. The porcupine said, what's a party? He got home, his brother said, I told you it's not gonna work. But Bear shrugged his shaggy shoulders and said,
you never know what might happen.
And he went ahead and planned his party. He swept the clearing, he prepared the food. He took a nap that afternoon so he could stay up late. And then finally, the evening of his party came. He had an early meal, and he sat on the front steps waiting for his friends to come. The sun sank low and then set, and the sky grew dark, and the stars came out one by one, and then the moon began to rise, and his friends didn't come, and it rose higher and higher in the sky, and his friends didn't come, and he waited, and his friends didn't come. And he said,
they're late. The party will just have to start without them.
went out in the middle of the clearing and stood very straight, very tall. He said, "Let the party begin." Huh. And he began to shuffle his feet and sing. Ooh, ah. Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? Right beneath them underground, the Fox family was trying to get their kids to bed. It was 15 minutes past their bedtime, and Dad Fox was beginning to lose it just a little bit. He had them in their bedroom. He was armed with pajamas. Rather strange anthropomorphism for this, but... just about had them cornered when all of a sudden the ground above him began to rumble and this muted sound came down through the earth. He said, what's that noise? His kid said, we'll go look. He said, no. But it was too late. They were through his legs, out the front, out the door. He ran up the steps. He said, ugh, all I want is 15 minutes to myself. Is that too much to ask? He ran up the steps, flung open the door, and looked at all his kids dancing around in the clearing with Bear singing, come on out and play with me. Come on out now. Can't. He said, look at that dumb Bear. No one came to his party, and he's still having it. He's trying to figure out how to get his kids back downstairs when who should come into the clearing, but da, 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 da. Forget it. Oh, is that... that's an expensive wolf right there. Okay. The wolf. Wolf came over. He said, hey, Fox, man, what are you doing here? He said, I'm not here. But his tail was moving back and forth, timing the music. Wolf said, I forgot about this party. And they sat there watching as more and more animals began to show up. And Bears kept dancing and singing. Come on out and play with you. And just at that moment, into the clearing came his best friend, the moose. She said, what's going on? He said, it's my party. Did you forget? He said, I didn't forget. I just didn't remember. Since I'm here, would you like some help? He said, yeah, I need somebody on the bottom. And so the moose began to do this part. And you guys over here, on the left side of the radio, okay? Okay, you're the moose section, all right? You can be your favorite bass player, Sting or Charles Mingus or Jack Bruce or I don't know. Your part goes like this. Boom, 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 boom. Try it. Boom, 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 boom. Bear kept singing. Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? Man, it was a swinging party. Mormon. Okay, great. Fine. Just let me tell the story, will you? Rabbit showed up with a vegetable plate from a nearby garden. The birds had been in the trees trying to sleep. A quartet of sparrows flew down to a branch right above Bear's head. They said, oh, Bear, we're here. What do you want? And he said, I need some backup singers. And the birds, and you guys right here in the middle, okay. Birds, the horn section went like this. Try it. Up. Bass section. Boom, 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 boom. Bear was singing. Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? Man, it was a swinging party. Animals, animals. Okay, fine, great. All right, just let me tell the story, will you? Losing control here. Animals never met, speaking for the first time. The crickets and their compatriots had been in a nearby field. They hopped into the clearing and said, what do you want? He said, I need somebody on the backbeat, on the rhythm. Duke Ellington said, don't clap on the one and the three. It's too aggressive. So you guys over here, you're the drum section, the rhythm. So your part goes like this. Horns. Here we go.
Boom, 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 boom.
Bear is singing.
Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? Okay. Okay, okay, all right. Fine, right, okay. Finally, the last animal of all came into the clearing. Quite unaware. Waddled over to where Bear was, said, "Hey, Bear, how'd you get such a swinging party?" Bear said, "I don't know. It was because of the moon." The porcupine, who never looked up at the sky, had no idea what he was talking about, said, "Moon? What's a moon?" Bear said, "The moon. Everybody stop. Look. Stop. Everybody stop." And everybody stopped. He said, "Look up at the moon." There it was. It's like it was hanging in the top branch of the tallest tree, shining down on all of them. And I don't care what scientists say. Some nights it's bigger. And he called up and he said, "Hey, moon. It's a nice night you picked to come out. It's not so dark like some other nights." And the moon turned her face towards the earth and said, "Nice night for a party, Bear." The animal's eyes opened wide. Their jaws dropped. They said, "Bear, that's impossible. That couldn't have happened. The moon has never spoken before. It couldn't have happened." And Bear, he shrugged his shaggy shoulders and said, "You never know what might happen." And the moose said, "Precisely. You may keep it up. One, two, you know what to do." Boom, 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 boom. Birds! Pop, crickets! Everybody, here we go! Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? The moon will shine till the light of day. Come on out and play. Come on out. One more time now. Come on out and play with me. Come on out now, can't you see? The moon will shine to the light of day. Come on out and play. Come on out and play. There you go.
That was Bill Harley with Bear's Party. Maybe that story got your toes tapping or your hands clapping. Maybe you sang along. And maybe you didn't know you'd be doing that when you first tuned in. But as Bear says so well with a shake of his shaggy shoulders, you never know what might happen. Have you ever had a you never know what might happen experience? Bill's story reminds me of the third birthday of my little brother, Dave, long ago when we were kids. We loaded up the family car and we drove out of our small town and up into the beautiful canyon near our house. And our plan was to hike the long, steep trail to Timpanogos Cave, a national monument up in that beautiful canyon. And we were going to take the ranger-guided tour through the deep and winding caverns of that cave, filled with stalactites and stalagmites and mysteriously dripping water and marvelous stories. That was the way we were going to celebrate Dave's birthday. Dave wore a little yellow construction paper crown with the number 3 written on it in glitter, set in Elmer's glue. And he rode on my dad's shoulders as we walked into the ranger station to buy our tickets for the cave tour. And though the sky was clear, they told us it looked like rain, and that if we hiked the long trail to the cave and there was a storm, the ranger up there might tell us that the cave was closed to tours. But we decided to take the risk. After all, the trail was beautiful, cave or no cave, and it wasn't raining yet, and you never know what might happen. We started hiking. Well, by the time we got to the cave, it had started to rain like crazy. In fact, we were all soaked to the bone by the time we reached the end of the trail and saw the ranger at the cave entrance. Dave's yellow construction paper crown was plastered to his hair in a wet mess, and we were cold and shivering, all of us. And the ranger took us into his little ranger shack next to the cave. And he gathered us around his little heater in there and wrapped wool blankets around our shoulders. We all thought that was cool to be there in the ranger shack where regular people didn't usually get to go. And then the ranger told us that the electric lights that usually lit the cave for tours had gone out in a storm. So we gave up on touring the cave, but the hike had been an adventure, and sitting here wearing the ranger's blankets was an adventure, and we'd been out in kind of an exciting storm. It had for us been kind of a cool birthday celebration. And then the ranger, learning that it was a birthday celebration, said, "How would you like to go through the cave anyway?" He rummaged in a drawer for some flashlights, and he handed a flashlight to my dad, and he handed a flashlight to my mom, and he handed each of us kids a glow stick. And that's how we went through the cave. It was an amazing tour. We saw Timpanogos Cave like almost no one ever does, and we felt like the cave's first explorers might have felt. After the tour, we said goodbye to the ranger, and we walked back down the trail. It had stopped raining. After a few minutes, the ranger caught up to us, and he told us that after we had all left the cave, he had packed up his things and locked up the big doors, and as he did that, all the electric lights had come back on. And that made us feel great, as though the universe had given my brother a super cool birthday gift just for him, a special trip through Timpanogos Cave by flashlight and glow stick, a tour like hardly anybody ever got before turning the electric lights back on for everybody else. The storm, the wet clothes, the absence of electric light in the cave, we never would have hoped for those things as we left the house that morning to visit the cave. But those things are what make the memory of that birthday celebration special for all of us. As things unfold from here, from this present time, there will be storms and cold and periods of darkness. But boy, it'll be an adventure, won't it? And we'll get through it best as we get through it together. And that's where Bill's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? We're so happy to have you join us today. Our final story we'd like to share with you comes to us from Lynn Ford. She tells a story about a time before there were stories to tell, a folk tale in which a diligent mother goes on a journey to find a story to share with her children. Here's Lynn with a story called How Some Stories Came to Be.
As I researched stories from my family, I found one that touched my heart. It's one of those stories from the once upon a times when the animals could talk like people. It is of the Zulu storytelling tradition. In those long ago times, there was a good woman by the name of Manzandaba, and her husband's name was Zenzele. And they loved one another, and they loved all their children, and they taught their children to help them work in the garden. They taught their children how to help them in the house. Zenzele was a wonderful woodsman, and he could make fine sculptures from wood. And Manzandaba, she would sing all day long, and the children loved it. But the children were children. And so they did what children would do. Mama, 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 mama. And she'd answer whatever question they were asking, or she'd tell them, go talk to your father. And when they'd get to their father, Baba, 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 go help your mother. One day, one of the children came to Manzandaba and asked for something that she had not expected, and she did not know how to answer, and she knew not to send that child to her husband, for Zenzele would have no answer either. That child asked, Mama, can you tell us a story? And Manzandaba thought about it, And she said, "Child, we have no stories." For in those days, human stories had not yet been invented. But the child said, "But Mama, we want a story. Mama, we want a story. Mama, we want a story. Mama, we want a story." And when Zenzele heard that, he said, "Please go find them story. I will take care of the children. I will take care of the house. I will take care of the garden. I will take care of everything. If you can please just bring them story." So Manzandaba embraced each one of them. And she walked away from her home and she walked through the village asking people if they could give her a story. But people didn't know what she was talking about. She walked out of the village and she made her way across the field and she saw a little rabbit and she asked the rabbit for a story. Now, this was a mother rabbit. And the mother rabbit said, "I can't give the two-legged stories. We have stories, but they are ours. You have to find your own." She walked farther and she met a lioness. And even though she was afraid, she asked the lioness for a story. And the lioness said, "You are safe because you are a mother as I am. But I am sorry. I have no stories to give you. We only have our stories." She walked away from the lioness, and there was a grandmother elephant. And she said, "Oh, grandmother elephant, you are so wise. Can you please give me stories for my children?" And grandmother elephant lifted her trunk. "No. I have stories for my grandchildren, woman, but I have no stories for you. But I have a friend who might be able to help." And she lifted her trunk again, and it made that sound, and down flew a mother eagle. And the elephant explained to her what the woman needed, and the eagle said to Manzandaba, "Climb upon my back, and I will take you to a place where someone may be able to help if you have the courage to be with them." Well, Manzandaba got on that eagle's back and up into the air they soared and they landed next to the ocean. And Manzandaba stepped off the eagle's back and the eagle called out a high screeching kind of call and up from the waters rose a sea turtle, a huge sea turtle. And the eagle explained what the need was and the sea turtle said, "Woman, climb on my back." Well, Manzandaba climbed on the sea turtle's back and held on for dear life. And the sea turtle went right down into the ocean, farther and farther down. But Manzandaba was safe, for the sea turtle had blown a bubble that surrounded them both so that Manzandaba could breathe. When they reached the bottom of the ocean, there was the king. There was the queen. They ruled the waters. And they asked Manzandaba what she needed. She said, "I was sent to see if you could help me get stories for my children. We need stories for them. We have no stories." And the king kind of scratched his head. But the queen, a mother, said, "Well, perhaps I can give you something that might help you with story if you bring something to us. You see, we know the stories of the waters, but we cannot come out on the land, and we are very curious about you two-legged folks up there. So if you can bring a story back to us, I will give you something that might help you to create story." Well, back up through the waters went Manzandaba on the back of that sea turtle in a great bubble. And when they came out on the land, Manzandaba stepped off the sea turtle, said thank you, went all the way back to her home. And when she got there, her husband was so happy to see her. "Baba, Baba, 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 Baba." He was twitching. He said, "Oh, good, Manzandaba, you have brought stories." She said, "Not yet. I need to carry stories of the two-leggeds, us, back to the rulers of the waters. Well, Zenzele thought about that, and he got a large plank of wood, and he asked Manzandaba to tell him everything that happened from the time she left their home looking for story. And as she spoke, he began to carve, and there upon the wood were the children, Manzandaba, Zenzele. There was Manzandaba walking through the village, talking to people. There was the mother rabbit and the lioness and grandmother elephant and the great eagle and a sea turtle and a trip down beneath the waters. When he had finished, Manzandaba looked at it and she said, "Oh, I hope this will work." And Zenzele helped her to tie it upon her back. She embraced everyone in the family, and back she went to the edge of the ocean where that sea turtle was waiting for her. And she was tired and sore, and her back was hunched with the weight of that story that she carried upon her back. But she got on the turtle's back. Down in a bubble of air she went, and she held out that piece of wood. The king reached right through the bubble and took that piece of wood from her. He said, "Thank you," and he looked at it. And he and the queen of the waters not only saw the stories, they could feel the stories written on the wood. Oh, they were so happy. The queen of the waters reached down beside her feet and lifted up a seashell. She gave it to Manzandaba. She said, "When you get home, put this against your ear. Close your eyes, and you will find story." And Manzandaba said, "Thank you." And up she went, and she thanked the sea turtle again, and she went back home. Now her children were sitting on the ground, and there was a stool waiting for her. And the people of the village had come to listen because she was bringing something new, story. And Manzandaba sat upon that stool, and she placed the seashell against her ear, and she closed her eyes, and she imagined, and she began. Kwesuka Sukela, once upon a time. And some say that is how stories came to be.
That was Lynn Ford with How Some Stories Came to Be. Can you remember a time when the unexpected happened and wound up being memorable? Can you remember a party that turned out just great? Can you remember a time when you looked forward to something with optimism and hope? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Bill Harley and Lynn Ford for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. If you want more from BYU Radio, subscribe to the Lisa Show podcast to hear host Lisa Valentine Clark and her guests take a good look at life.